As you, if you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance? Excuse me. And before we get started, there are a couple of things I want to bring attention to. Is we're going to have a fellowship luncheon next Sunday following worship service. So the church will be providing fried chicken and drinks, and we're asking that the members bring a side dish or a dessert. Yeah. So if you could come and join us for something after church next Sunday. Also, today's Memorial Day, and this is something difficult for me to do, but I served three tours in combat, and there's many people that I know on the wall in D.C., and as a result of that, I've never been able to go look at that wall. You know? But just remember today that there's so many that did give sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for us to be able to sit in these pews today and worship freely, and just thank God that we can do that. And also, coming up in a couple of days, Kathy Matheson has a birthday. And then June 1st, Pastor Walt has a birthday. So the next one is Kathy Rogers on the 5th. And then on the 19th, it's a very, very special day, is Kathy Pendleton and Joe Sams have a birthday on the same day. So, are there any other announcements? Okay, if not, take your bulletin and let's turn to the inside cover and do the unison reading. It's printed there together. And it reads,
if you would stand, we'll do our call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. Sanctuary.
Thanks, Steve.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just asking that you make us a sanctuary for you. We ask, Lord, that your presence be here with us. Be with those who can't be here for whatever reason, Lord, and just help them to know that they're still a vital part of this church. And Lord, we ask that you be with the families that's lost loved ones during the Memorial Weekend. I know for me it's sometimes very difficult to think about it, but Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being here and being able to worship in your house. Now guide us, direct us, and forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you would turn now to number 381, The Solid Rock.
Thank you. Be seated. And if you would, take your bulletin, turn to inside cover, and we're going to do question 11 and 12 of the Shorter Catechism this morning. I'll read the question, you do the answer that's printed in bold. Question 11, what are God's works of providence?
God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures.
What special act of providence did God exercise toward man in the estate in which he was created?
When God had created man, he entered into a covenant of life with him, upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, upon pain of death.
And as we come to the time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:8, and it reads, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work."
Normally done on Veterans Day. However, I thought it was also appropriate for Memorial Day because we are honoring those in the armed forces. Of course, we're honoring those that have given their lives for us to be here. And as Bob has said, I have also served and I also had friends that died not in Vietnam, but actually in just training exercises. So our fellow men and women have given their blood in all cases, but they gave it for us. So just remember them and please lift them up in your prayers. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your house for your storehouse. We ask that you bless each gift and each giver and help us as a church to use these funds wisely to further kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, as we meet together in the name of our Lord and Savior, we have the great opportunity to lift up to him those special needs of our loved ones and of our congregation and of our nation. And we know that this is a holiday, and yet it's also a difficult holiday because of events that have taken place even this past week. So we do want to remember to pray for the parents of the elementary school children. We want to remember to pray for our nation, that God would send a spirit of repentance on this land and call us back to Him. And we also want to pray for those in our congregation who are suffering with physical difficulties or problems. And so we come to the Lord now by faith in prayer. So let's bow as we pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we call upon You as our sovereign God, as the only God. And we call upon Your name, Lord, for mercy. We pray for mercy for this, our nation. Lord, we celebrate this day the fallen, those who have given their lives in service to this country. And Father, we want to honor them with all of our hearts for the sacrifices that they've made. And Lord, we do pray that our nation might rally and come to its senses and faith in You, and call upon You as the Almighty God for deliverance from the evil that pervades our society today. Our Father, we do pray this morning for those people who have suffered loss through this tragedy in Texas. And Lord, we ask and pray that You would be very close to them. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for the division that's here in our land that separates us as men and women. And Father, we ask that You would help us and encourage us to come back to You and to a faith in the living God, back to the foundations that have made us a great nation. Lord, we pray and ask on this Sabbath morning, on this Sunday morning, we ask, Lord, that You would watch over those here in our congregation. We pray for those who are struggling even in this hour with physical problems and physical needs. And Lord, we remember to pray this morning for Zoe Sams. We ask You, Lord, to touch her physical body and to heal her. We pray for this impending surgery, and we ask, Lord, that it would be successful and that she would have freedom of movement again. Father, we pray for Tom Gibson this morning and ask You, Lord, to touch his physical body and to heal him and strengthen him. Lord, we also pray for Leanne Adams, and thankful that she's here with us today. We pray, Lord, that You'd continue to heal her completely from her knee surgery. Father, for the others that are here today, and maybe those who are at home who are suffering with physical difficulties and problems, we pray for John Wood and ask You, Lord, to heal him from this back pain that he's suffering with. Heal him completely. Lord, for the others, we ask and pray that as we turn to You as our God and as our Lord, knowing that You are truly the great physician, that Your Holy Spirit might bind us back together again, that You would heal us, heal Your people, Lord. Father, for those who are struggling with emotional difficulties and spiritual problems, and Lord, we pray that You would help us in our times of anxiety to cast these anxieties onto You, knowing that You care for us. Our Father, we pray that on this Memorial Day that our joy might be in a God who watches over His people, that, Lord, You protect us and You lead us as our Lord and as our God, as our Shepherd. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you would now stand and turn to number 408, if you can stand.
Thank you.
Now please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, and reading verses 1 to 6. This is Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 6. And hear now the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. Well, this has been quite a week in America, and the news channels have been showing the tragedy in Texas, and we have those who make commentaries on one side or on the other side. In addition to that, we also have the news of trials that are going on, especially the trial with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And we know that that kind of fills the screens with information. You know, from time to time, there are these certain trials that are played out on the television screen as if the decisions are made in the court of public opinion, when really they're supposed to be made by jurors who hear all the facts, maybe some that we don't hear, and then they make their decisions. But when we have situations where people are constantly throwing in their ideas about what is right and what's wrong, it can really confuse the issue. I'm sure that many of us here remember the O.J. Simpson trial, and this was back in 1995. And you remember the almost the circus-like atmosphere that pervaded that trial. And celebrity trials all seem to have certain things in common, and this one with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard is no different. And that is that it tends to polarize the public. People will listen to what's happening, what's taking place, and they'll form an opinion, or they'll come to their own decision about guilt or innocence. Another thing that it includes are large numbers of witnesses. Do you know in the O.J. Simpson trial, they had over 150 different witnesses that spoke either for the defense or for the prosecution, over 150. The Johnny Depp trial right now has had over 40. These are people that will stand up and they will give testimony as far as what was right or what was wrong, what they had heard, what the person did. And witnesses play a huge role in the minds of the jury as far as whether to find a person guilty or find a person innocent. And it's so important and so necessary that these people who are giving testimony will give the truth, speak the truth. In fact, we know that it's so important to God that he included it in the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, he says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And he's speaking there about giving testimony and how important it is. You know, Exodus chapter 20, verse 19 says that, "Do not bear false witness." But just several chapters later, in Exodus 23, verse 2, it says this, "You shall not fall in with the many who do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many so as to pervert justice." This is how important giving a fair testimony was, to be an accurate, truthful witness It was essential, absolutely essential. And the function of the witness was always to support the truth, to share the truth. You know, when Jesus, just before Jesus left this earth, as he spoke to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said this. He said, "And you shall be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses." Going out into Judea and Samaria and Idumea and going out into all these different places, you're going to testify and give witness, truthful witness, to what you have seen and what you've heard. And that was essential for the spreading of the gospel in those times, right after Jesus left. Early believers had the responsibility to go out and tell the truth, not to make things up, not to exaggerate, not to elaborate, but to tell the truth. And as they did, it provided tremendous strength in dark times, in dark moments. As Christianity struggled in the early years under Roman rule, I believe that the writer of Hebrews is speaking about these times when he talks about the fact that, therefore, since you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, he's speaking about those who have been called on to give testimony not only with their lips but with their lives and show through their lives what the truth really was and is. You know, he begins this chapter, we read it this morning, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and he starts with the word "therefore," and it harkens back to chapter 11. This is the chapter of faith, where it lists so many of the individuals in the Bible that exercised great faith when God called upon them. These were regular, normal people that God caused to do extraordinary things in their lives. It's worth going back and reading this in chapter 11, the great heroes of the faith, men and women called on to do extraordinary things for the Heavenly Father. And you know, the truth is they did plenty of mistakes. They made a lot of mistakes during this time. And one of the great things about the Word of God is that it doesn't hold back. It shares the problems and the errors and the sin that were in people's lives. I mean, you can't look at the life of David and not appreciate the fact that he was not perfect. And yet God chose to use him in a special way, in a powerful way. You know, we read about, in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about these individuals. And if you look at verses 32 to 40, and I'm not going to take the time to read it right now, but it talks about some of the things that they had to go through in order to be those men and women of God. You know, I think about Joseph and how Joseph was in a prison and for something that he didn't do. He was completely innocent. He was, first of all, sold to the caravan and then taken and sold again into slavery. And, you know, and I'm sure he was asking himself, "Lord, what did I do?" And then when he was in prison for 7 years, and then the situation with the baker and what happened there as a result, and how he thought, "Well, just tell the king, let the king know that I'm here and that I can interpret visions." But he spent another 7 years in there. And you wonder, "Lord, why did it take so long? Why didn't you just let him out?" I think about Moses. You know, 40 years he spends with all the blessings and riches of Egypt, and then spends the next 40 years leading Jethro's sheep around the desert. And he's 80 years old. Now, some of us are getting closer to that age. 80 years old. And the Lord says, "Okay, Moses, now it's time for you to do what I've called you to do." I'm sure he's thinking, "Lord, I want to go home. I want out of here." 80 years old. But the Bible tells us about this, Hebrews chapter 11. And it says that in many they were men and women of weakness, but it was turned into strength. In fact, it says that they were powerful in battle. And what it's saying is that these were just common people who were given a great gift in the right moment, at the right time, to do extraordinary things. Some of them were tortured. Some faced the jeers and flogging of the people around them. They were put in chains. But through all of this, they were commended for their faith, that their faith didn't fail. And the writer of Hebrews says the world was not worthy of people like this. When he says in chapter 12, therefore we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, I'll just take a minute to look at that. When it talks about the cloud, he uses the word nephos in Greek. And nephos is translated as clouds, but I'm going to read this to you. In ancient classical Greek, the word clouds was used to describe the highest seats in the bleachers of a stadium. The seats at the very top of the stadium were called the clouds because they were so high up in the air. Now, if you can think about stadiums today, and you can think about the boxes, the special boxes that people purchase, and usually they're along the top row so they get the best view of whether it's a football game or a baseball game or whatever. The people that are the most wealthy or the most important or whatever are found in those boxes. And when the writer of Hebrews talks about the nephos, he's talking about the individuals that have been set apart by God to do special things, to do important things for him. And he sets them apart in a special way. He calls them the nephos because you're surrounded by this nephos, by this group of people, this cloud of people, of witnesses. And when he talks about witnesses here, the word that's translated witnesses is the word martyreo. And it's a verb, and it basically means participant. It's from which we get martyr. Now, we have this mindset that basically says, you know, heaven is like these grandstands, and all these people are up in the grandstands, and they're watching what we do. They're watching us live our lives. And nothing could be further from the truth. Number one, if they're in heaven, we know that in heaven, no tear will be shed. There's not going to be any sorrow. And I'm sorry, but I feel like if people were watching me run my race, they would probably be tears that were being shed. Look at what he's doing. How in the world could he do that? That's not at all what they're there for. You see, the martyreo, the martyr, as it's described here, is a participant. It's somebody that has walked the same path, somebody that's experienced the same pressures in life and the difficulties and the struggles, and yet they were human beings. They were people just like you and just like me. And they're there to encourage us. They're there to say, listen, I was just like you. I went through the same struggles that you're going through. I was tempted in the same areas that you're being tempted in. I've had all the same struggles that you've had, but through all of this, I found God to be faithful. God was faithful, and he saw me through. And I know that by the same token, God will see you through. He will encourage you, and he will strengthen you. And that's why he says, therefore, throw off, lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely and run your race with endurance. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, don't allow these things to set you back. Don't feel like that you're different. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're looking at 1 Corinthians. We just looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says this, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will give you the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. And you see, I feel like this great cloud of witnesses isn't there to judge us and look down on us and say, why in the world are you doing these things? They're there to encourage us. They're there to strengthen us. Yeah, times are hard. Times are difficult. But they were hard when we lived too. They were difficult. In fact, a lot of the trials that we faced were far more difficult than what you're facing today. But through all of this, we found that God was faithful. When he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, God is faithful. He says we must run the race with endurance. That's the word long-suffering. We can't just give up and say, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of these struggles. Why can't things be the way that they used to be? We run with endurance, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, you know, as Americans, I believe that we also have a cloud of witnesses. We also have those that have struggled in the same way that we're struggling today. Those that had to make decisions about how they would serve this country. This is Memorial Day or Memorial Day weekend, and this is a time when we remember the fallen. We remember those that had to make a decision as to whether they were going to serve our country or not. And they chose to serve. You know, we grew up as proud Americans. And I know that most of us can remember in our classrooms when we would begin the day, first of all, reading the Bible, reading a passage out of the Bible. And then we would stand and we would face the flag and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you know there are very few of our young people today that can recite the Pledge of Allegiance? We recited it every day we were in school. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And there are those that say, well, I can't stand up and pledge myself to a country, to a nation, or to a flag. But what we're doing is pledging allegiance not to our flag and not just to our country, but to the God who made our country great. One nation under God, indivisible. Patriotism, God and country was taught in all of our schools. You see, there's something special about the United States of America. And I know because I was born in this country that I have a certain allegiance and I would stand up and defend this country. I think there's something in me that wants to do that with all of my heart. But I know that there's something different about America. Trying to be as objective as I can, and I've been in other countries. In fact, I spoke to some Christian people, church people in England who resented the fact that we sang the song, God Bless America. They say, why do you single out America? Why don't you sing God Bless Everybody? I say, well, we do. And we want God to bless everybody, but we also want God to bless our country, the United States of America. Why don't you sing God Bless the United Kingdom? You should. We want God to bless our country. Why? Because we're Americans? No. Because God has set us apart as a people. He has honored us through history. And if you look at the founding of our nation, you can see God's hand over and over again, bringing us through wars and bringing us through disasters and bringing us through all kinds of things just so that we can stand strong as a people. You know, our founding fathers acknowledged the hand of God in the forming of this country. I'm going to read you a quote from Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was a deist. He was not what we would even call a born-again Christian or anything like that, but he believed in an almighty power. It's about as far as he would go. But this is what he said. He said, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is not probable that an empire could rise without his aid." And he gave credence to the fact that it was by God's hand that this nation came into being. Beyond that, as our states came together and as each state formed their own constitution, all 50 states make reference to the hand of Almighty God. All 50. Here's the preamble to the North Carolina state constitution. It says this: "We, the people of the state of North Carolina, grateful to Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of nations, for the preservation of the American Union and the existence of our civil, political, and religious liberties, and acknowledging our dependence upon him for the continuance of those blessings to us and our posterity, do for the more certain security thereof and for the better government of this state, ordain and establish this constitution." Now, with very few differences, almost every state constitution says the same thing. They all call on the name of the Almighty and Sovereign God and give him the credit for us coming together as a people. All over the world, people look and point to the United States of America as the holders of freedom. And as one nation after another loses its freedom, they look to America and they pray for America, "Don't lose your freedom." With great blessing came great responsibility. We as a nation had great responsibility. We have great responsibility in this world community. Some of you are familiar with a French writer by the name of de Tocqueville. And de Tocqueville made this statement. He said, "America is great because America is good. When America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." You see, we've fallen into the same trap that Israel fell into. When Israel went into took over the promised land and they began to prosper, and God prospered them greatly. They were warned, "Be careful, because with that prosperity comes responsibility. And if you forget the hand that gave you that responsibility, then that blessing will be removed from you." This is what he said. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 to 20, and it says this: "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." I don't know how it could be any clearer. God didn't just say that to the nation of Israel. He said it to his people, the people that he made covenant with. He said that to the United States of America. And over time, it seems like we've done everything possible within our power to remove him from every facet of government, to remove his name from as much as we can. God warned Israel. He told them, "If you don't listen to what I'm telling you, I will remove your nation." We see today we're celebrating Memorial Day, and I think on Memorial Day we remember the witnesses. We remember those individuals that have paid the ultimate price so that we can have freedom. You know, Memorial Day began right after the Civil War. It began in the 1700s, late 1700s. And then it was called Decoration Day. And they would decorate the graves of their fallen soldiers. And then it was changed later on to Memorial Day, because we want to memorialize those individuals that gave their life. We remember what it was that they fought for. What caused them to leave their homes and to go overseas or to go wherever they were sent, to wear a uniform and to stand up to defend the freedom of this country. That's the prize. The prize was the freedom. We remember the price that they paid. They were willing to go into battle knowing there was a possibility that they would lose their lives. And I would say probably for every family represented here today, you can think back to someone in your family, an uncle, a brother, a cousin, somebody that lost their lives in a war. Or maybe it was school friends that you had, friends at school, and you can think back and you can see their face as clearly as anything. I lost a number of my good friends in Vietnam. I can still see their faces. They paid that price. And I believe that as our witnesses, they would tell us, don't forget us. Don't lose sight of what we died for. Now, we all know that there are individuals, there are even groups, that are doing their level best to change America, to cause us to do things and to say things and to believe things that are not part of our tradition. In fact, they want to do away with our tradition. They want to get rid of our statues to fallen heroes. They want to get rid of our Constitution. They want to get rid of those things that have bound us and held us together as a people, as a nation. They want to eliminate it all, just wipe the slate clean so they can rebuild us after their image, after their desire. And the question is, are we willing to stand up the way our witnesses stood up? Are we willing to make our lives count to preserve something that's precious to us? You know, in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says this. It says, ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. The ancient paths, those beliefs and those traditions that have held us together as a nation since the 1700s, something that's caused us to thrive, to grow, to be strong, to be healthy as a people, and to hold to those things and not let them go. One of the most important things that we can hold on to right now is freedom. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We need to hold to the truth. We need to remember those who witness to us today. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do call on your name. Lord, we have been negligent. We have not held up our part of this arrangement, this covenant that we've made with you. And as a result, we see things happening in this land that no one ever thought would happen. Father, we see our enemy being praised and lifted up. We ask you, Lord, to help us, to give us the strength and the courage to stand up for what we believe, to stand up for those ancient paths, to those traditions that have caused us to be a great nation and not give in and not surrender. Lord, we pray and ask for your hand. We pray that you would lead us as our shepherd, that you would help us and encourage us to be the people that you want us to be, that we could be a witness to this world of the greatness of our God. Father, help us on this Memorial Day weekend to remember. and not to forget. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would now please stand and turn to number 55. We'll sing the first four verses, and then after the benediction, the last two.
Please bow for the benediction. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.